and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. Thank you so much for joining me. If it is your first time, then welcome to the show. And if you've been a loyal supporter over the months, I hope that you are continuing to get value from your time being given up to listen to what I and my guests have to say. This is obviously an important session this week. We are on the brink of a new year. In fact, by the time the next show comes out, the new year will have already started because this show goes out towards the end of December. I hope you've had a fantastic Christmas. We had an amazing one here. We had a bit of a roller coaster, just as the whole of last year really was a roller coaster. I think probably for most people with more downs than ups. And we had a real roller coaster because just before Christmas, I had the really exciting news. Myself and my wife were given the fantastic news by our eldest daughter that she was expecting her second baby, our second grandchild. We've already got one granddaughter, as I'm sure you've heard me going on about here, Leah, who is wonderful. But this exciting news came through that come July, we should be grandparents again. So that's really exciting. Then, roller coaster ride as it is, 2 days later on Christmas Eve, we had the phone call to say that she and her husband and little baby Leah had all tested positive for COVID and were a little bit the worse for wear, although not terribly shockingly bad. So it's been a real challenging time, shall we say. I think they're going to pull through fairly quickly with it, hopefully, and we'll be fully functional again soon. Quite a blessing in a way was the fact that Boris did put us all into tier four. Otherwise, my daughter Jasmine, who you've heard on the show before many times, who has type 1 diabetes, she would have been going down to stay with him over Christmas had we not been in tier 4. And of course, with diabetes, you are more vulnerable and more prone to having deeper complications. So I'm thankful for that, at least, that the timing was good of Boris to put us into tier 4. Many of you are probably shouting at me on the radio right now because you don't agree. But actually, I think it was the right thing to do over Christmas, and I think it saved a lot of people, including probably us, a lot of grief. Anyway, I'm going to quickly whiz through a little bit of what has been in the news over the last week or two. I'm going to really whiz through. I'm not going to dwell on any of it, but I just want to just share a few things so that you can go and look at it further if you want. And all the items I'm getting are from diabetes.co.uk's website. So let's just kick off with some of those. Just the headlines. Reports show unprecedented dentistry complaints amid a lockdown. Another one, males with COVID-19 at higher risk of hospital intervention. Another one on diabetes and Brexit, what it might mean, of course, with Brexit happening. Pocket-sized breathalyzer could help detect diabetes. Dogs with type 2 diabetes raise owners' risk. That's a bit of an interesting one there. Uprated exercise recommendations issued by World Health Organization. I will dwell on that a little bit because currently we are recommended to have 75 minutes of vigorous exercise a week or 150 minutes of less vigorous, I believe. And that is changing. The WHO now recommends that you have 150 to 300 minutes of moderate exercise, or 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous exercise, or a combination of the two, every single week. I suspect some of us might have to make some New Year's resolutions to get into that target, and I think that would be a good thing to do. And hopefully later in the show, you'll have that opportunity to work out a good plan to be able to do that. Other ones, experts urge people to rethink Christmas amid COVID-19. Well, we're a bit late for that one, aren't we? But I would urge you to rethink New Year as well amid the COVID-19 rises in the rates. Another one, urgent action on new COVID-19 strain is wise, say the experts. Approval to test a psychedelic drug to treat depression. GP Surgery Network pulls out of COVID-19 vaccine program. I haven't read that one yet. I will do. Lockdown measures expected to last until March 2021. And more social media activity leads to depression, says a study. So there's loads of different bits of news there for you regarding diabetes. Oh, and the last one is gene discovery has helped seek drug treatment for COVID-19. So any of those tickle your fancy, go along to diabetes.co.uk's website and you'll see more information on all of those headlines that I just gave you. We are going to be talking today about New Year's resolutions, about goals to make, dreams to have, how to make them, how to make them smart goals. But before we do that, I want us to listen to a song. We're going to listen to a song by Bon Jovi, and it is called New Year's Day. And I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
That was Bon Jovi and New Year's Day. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you could make out some of the lyrics there. Some of the lyrics are a little bit surprising, actually, but ones which certainly resonate with me, because I believe that we really should be thanking our God for bringing us through this past year. And some of the lyrics in there, one of the choruses, "And I'm singing hallelujah, amen, the angels say. Let's hope tomorrow finds us. It's New Year's Day." And then he goes on into the other verses saying, "Let's toast to new beginnings. Okay, raise up a glass and say, for all of our tomorrows and what was yesterday. I'm singing carpe diem. I'm saying seize the day. Come on, let's live forever. It's New Year's Day." And that really is, in my view, the whole crux of the matter. The fact is that we should be aiming to live forever. And the only way of doing that, of course, is by making sure that we do all we can to search to find the way to get to heaven. But in the meantime, we need to look after our own bodies as well. And where he says there, carpe diem, and seize the day, which is the translation of that, that's what we should be doing. You know, New Year's Day is just a good opportunity to say, I'm going to seize the day. I'm going to make sure going forwards, things are going to be different to what they have been looking back. And boy, do we need to make some changes from this past year. Do we need to put the last year behind us and to start making some differences in this coming year? And with diabetes, if you have got uncontrolled diabetes, if your sugar levels are high, really, I implore you to try to make sure that your levels are better, because it is going to help you so much against this virus and against long-term complications with your diabetes as well, both cardiovascular, both microvascular, with your kidneys, with your eyes, with your feet. Just generally, your whole life will improve as a result of improving your blood sugars. So please do your utmost to listen on in this show and in future shows, and even listen back to some of the old shows, to find ways that you can improve your blood sugars. That's what we're all about on this show, keeping you in the diabetes sweet spot, helping you to stay in that safe zone with your diabetes. So I hope you enjoyed that song, and looking ahead now, we are going to get into the nitty-gritty of what it means to make some amazing resolutions. And I am sure that as many, many of you will have had failed resolutions in the past. And it's not a bad idea to really examine, why did you fail at them? What has caused you to fail? I know for myself, on the occasions when I have done New Year's resolutions, there's various reasons. And the reasons that I came up with were, number one, that the resolution was a bit too vague. So it was, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to eat more healthy. I'm going to exercise more. All very, very vague. And if you don't tighten it out a little bit and really hold yourself accountable to a real target and a real plan, then that's it's not going to happen for me. Not planning properly. That comes into that as well, not planning properly to achieve whatever it is that I'm going to be able to, wanting to achieve. That probably is the number one problem area. It's, they say planning to fail is failing to plan, don't they? Another one as well is that sometimes you just choose something because you feel it's the right thing to do, because you're going with the flow. You know, maybe it's everyone in the office is going on a diet, so you go on a diet. Maybe you know, your family member is going on a such and such diet, so you decide you'll join them with it. And it's not really, really on your heart that you want to make those changes. The best resolutions are the ones where you have a deep-rooted desire to do it, a real passion to make a difference in your life, where you really are, you see the urgency and the need to make the changes. And hopefully with your diabetes, there's evidence all around us to make us see the importance of those changes, to make us see how important it is to improve our blood sugar control, to live better lives, and to hopefully be able to avoid the horrendous complications which can all too often happen to us. So those are some of the things that can cause us to fail. I wanted to spend a bit of time on this show just looking at some things we can do to try to make sure that our resolutions are going to work this year and hopefully ongoing as well. I don't want you to, if you've already made a resolution, and I don't want you to feel bad that maybe you haven't looked at it the way I'm going to suggest. Good luck if you are on a path already and things are going well, then that's fantastic. There's no need to change. But this is just a method which I've found helpful and many people have found helpful in changing habits of a lifestyle. And I hope that it will help some of you. And if you have, maybe you are in day four of your diet or your exercise plan or whatever it may be, and maybe you already feel like you've failed. Maybe there's been a day where you messed up. You had that piece of chocolate that you said you would never eat again. Maybe you didn't go for that 5-kilometer run that you said that you would do every day for the rest of your life. I want you to sit back right now and think about the resolutions you've made and how they match up to what I'm going to be sharing, because some of the things that we're going to share can really make the difference between a resolution being achieved or not achieved. So what we're going to talk about is SMART goals. And I'm sure that many of you will have heard of those before, but it surprises me actually how many people don't when I talk to them about it. SMART goals, SMART is an anagram, and each letter, of course, stands for something. So this one needs to be an important show. And I think that having SMART goals in your minds at the end of this show will certainly help you on your way to having successful resolutions this year and ongoing throughout the coming decade. So what does SMART goals stand for? What does SMART stand for? Well, the S stands for specific. Make your goals specific. The M stands for measurable. A for achievable. R for relevant. And T for time bound. And we're going to try applying those to some examples of some of the things that we might try to do, particularly with diabetes. But it doesn't have to be to do with your diabetes. It can be something totally random. It can be saving money. It can be not biting your fingernails or your toenails, for that matter. By the way, we do sometimes get people in who have done that, literally bitten their toenails. I'm a podiatrist, in case you'd forgotten. That's why I say we get people in. I'm not talking about in our house. I'm talking about in my clinic. We get that from time to time. Thankfully, not too often. And usually it goes wrong because they get ingrown toenails. So don't even try it. Although actually the other day, confession time, when I was a kid, and I remember we used to try and see how far we could get our feet up to our head, and you know, some people are more supple than others. And the other evening I thought, I wonder if I can still get my foot to my toe to touch my nose. And I could on my right foot, but on my left side, there was no way I could get anywhere close to that. Now don't ask me why I tried that other than just to see, am I as supple as I was? And yes, I am on the right, but not on the left. Please, if you haven't done that for a long time and if you're not exercising and stretching, I don't suggest you do it, because I don't want you pulling muscles and really making getting yourself in a bit of a state. We're going to take another break now, and that's going to be for another song. And the song is going to be by a band called The Cranberries, and the song is called Dreams. And hopefully during this song, you can dream up what resolutions you are going to make, whether it be New Year's or whether we be listening to this further into the year. What dreams would you like regarding your diabetes, regarding life in general?
Changing.
That was the Cranberries and Dream, and hopefully you are now in a position where you are thinking of some real solid dreams for the coming year. Some of the things that you might have forgotten that you could have even dreamt of achieving might now be in your sights. And if they're not, don't worry. Think about it more in the coming weeks, coming days. Think about some things that you would like to achieve in your life, some things that maybe could be on the bucket list, things you'd like to be able to do that at the moment. Maybe your health, maybe your financial position, maybe your physical fitness won't allow, but which possibly with some changes could become achievable. So let's talk about SMART goals. SMART goals, remember, stands for S for specific, M for measurable, A for achievable, R for relevant, and T for time bound. Let's first of all just kick off with talking a little bit about being specific. How many of us have ever said we are going on a diet because we want to lose some weight? Or we're going to start some exercise because we want to get fit? Those are extremely vague. Although they are good goals, they're good things to want to achieve, they're commendable. Losing weight, very commendable. Getting fitter, very commendable. But they are not specific. You need something that is specific. So for example, you might want to decide, instead of just saying you're going to lose weight or you're going to go on a diet, you might decide to say, you know what, I would like to achieve this weight loss by a certain date. And you don't just go in nilly-willy just with any old idea. You really do think about what is achievable. Maybe you even get some advice from someone who's either done it before or someone who's a professional. Because obviously we are all different, and what one person might have achieved could be very daunting for someone else. That's why some of these places like Weight Watchers, etc., can be very good, because they do have people in charge, people who are leading, who have met all types of people, and they know that one person's target is more achievable for that person than it may be for another. But you make your goals specific. So you may want to raise enough money by saving in order to be able to go on a particular holiday. We'll work out how much that holiday is going to be and make that a specific target. Lots of different things that you could work into your goals, making them specific. Second thing is measurable, making them measurable. There's nothing worse than having a goal and you don't really know how well you're achieving it. The obvious one, of course, is weight. Weight you can measure because you can weigh yourself. You could measure how much savings you've got by, you know, when you're saving money, how much have you actually managed to save. But try to have some points in time when you're going to take the measurements so you can actually see how you are getting on. So you might have week number two, a weigh-in session. Maybe you do it every week. Maybe you do it monthly. Again, different for different people. I personally think that it's good to do it weekly, and you choose the time roughly of day when you're going to do it. So maybe you're going to do a early morning weigh-in session on the Saturday when you're not in a rush to go to work, and you just get up before you put your clothes on, get on the scales, see what you weigh, and then you do it the same time the following week, so everything is as similar as possible. And then you plot it somewhere so you can actually see. You can do it on your computer, you could probably do it on an app on the phone, and you can see how things are changing over time. It's measurable. You can see what is taking place, how well you're doing or not, as the case might be. And there might be times when you do blip, and that is not time to give up. That's time just to say, look, the general drift has been positive. I've gone and dipped a little bit here, but I'm going to get back on track straight away. Talking about failing and you know, messing up and having a blip, A stands for achievable. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to make your goals easy. They can stretch you. They can be ones which are really big targets. So if you've got to lose a few stone, that can be your overall goal. But you break it down into achievable chunks, just like you wouldn't put a great big huge mouthful of food into your mouth. You would break it down into small mouthfuls because it's achievable to be able to eat it that way.
Actually, I think my son probably is an exception to that rule. He probably tries to stuff in the whole chicken leg rather than cutting it up. But anyway, let's hope he doesn't listen to the show because he'll have a go at me. He's 11, by the way. But making them achievable. Make the goals achievable for you. Maybe you want to save some money. You know, maybe ideally you want £300 or £400 a month saved. But actually, realistically, maybe it's only £50 that you can do. Go for that. Aim for the 50 with a view to being able to increase it, maybe if you get a chance to at a later point. But make those goals achievable. It's much better to blast those goals and really rock it and do great and have a celebration than it is to sit there moping all the time. And I'm a little bit of one of this. I don't necessarily make the goals too big, but I make too many goals. I have all these different goals and then don't achieve them all. And that can be a problem as well. So have some big items that you're going to work on, or a big item, even just one, and do that really well and you know, celebrate at the end of it.
And as I just mentioned there about savings, I just want to share something actually which my wife organized this year, and it worked incredibly well for us. And that was, I'm not sure which bank it is, but one of the banks that we use had a scheme whereby they would round up any figure that we might have spent in a particular shop. So let's say we spent £10, 41 pence on our shopping for the week. and then they would actually round up from the 41 pence, make it up to £11, and the extra bit of money would go into a savings account. And every time we used our cards, that would happen. The extra bit, totaling it up to a round figure, would go into our savings account. And we set a target to get to. And we blew that target away, and we were able to pretty much fund our Christmas this year with that money. So, yeah, it really, really worked for us. You can set different targets. I think you can set how much of a top-up goes on, whether it's to the nearest pound, to the nearest 50p, to the nearest £5, nearest £10, I think. My wife did all the nitty-gritty of the organising of it, so she knows better than me. But check with your bank whether they do that sort of scheme, have a savings scheme where they you know, round up whatever it is that you're spending each and every day, probably most families, when you have to go shopping and get your food. Get your petrol, get whatever it might be. So, yeah, give that a try and see if it works for you. It's a way of making a goal achievable. So check it out.
The next one is make them relevant. Make it a goal that is relevant. You've got to be doing it for the right reason. It's got to matter to you. So, you know, having low blood sugars should be something which is very relevant to you and really matters to you. But for some people with diabetes, they don't see it that way. They don't see it as mattering. They just are trying to do it because their doctor says so. Well, yeah, that is important. But really, you've got to grasp why it's important to you. You've got to be able to understand. So do have a read around the subject. Have a look at just how bad things can get for people if their blood sugars aren't in good control. And yeah, have that negative aspect of what can go wrong motivating you, but also have a positive aspect of, you know, if you can keep healthy, you're going to be able to do certain things for so much longer with your kids or your grandkids, for example. So having that positive relevance to the why you're doing what you're doing as a goal. Finally, time bound. It's a little bit like being achievable, this one. You want to make sure that your goals are split up into smaller chunks. So, you know, instead of, as we said earlier, going for the big 3 stone loss, go for maybe half a stone loss in the first quarter of the year. Maybe go for, you know, a few kilograms in the first couple of months. Make it achievable so that you can really do well and excel, and try and plot in some rewards for yourself as well. Expect to do well, plot in some rewards. Maybe you can go out for a nice meal on the day that you blast through your target for that particular month. So that hopefully is going to help you with your SMART goals, making your resolution targets SMART. Okay.
Now, I'm sure most of you will have heard of the saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Because if you don't plan things, then very often you are just setting yourself up to not achieve the goal or the dream that you want to succeed at. We're going to be looking a little bit later in the show at ways to help you to plan to succeed, things that you can do to maximize your chances of achieving whatever goal or dream it is that you have got in your heart right now. We're going to play a song, first of all, and the song is going to hopefully be one which will inspire you to think about ways that you might be able to plan and prepare for your goal. The song is by a band called Simple Plan, and the song is called This Song Saved My Life. And of course, if you really do take planning your goal seriously, it could seriously save your life. So enjoy the song, and we'll get into some serious planning afterwards.
Wanna start by letting you know this, because of you my life has a purpose. You help me be who I am today. I see myself in every word you say. Sometimes it feels like nobody gets me, trapped in a world where everyone hates me. There's so much that I'm going through. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Closer than we used to be. You're my escape when I'm stuck in a small town. I turn you up whenever I feel down. You let me know like no one else that it's okay to be myself. Never know what it means to me. But I'm not alone, that I'll never have to be. I was broken, I was choking, I was lost. This song saved my life. I was bleeding, stopped believing, could have died. This saved my life.
You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And before that song, we were looking at the definition of SMART goals being specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And I said I was going to come back with you with a few little tips on how to achieve some of those things. And one of the key ones is the time-bound thing, I think. And for that, I would suggest that what you do is that when you have got your goal in mind, your target in mind, that you get a piece of paper and you draw a timeline on it. And you start with today, you draw a line, and then you put the end time there. Now, who knows what your goal is? Maybe it is to raise a certain amount of money by a certain date so that you can do a certain thing. Well, put that down as the end on the timeline. So if you need to raise some money to book a holiday, and the holiday needs to be booked by June the 1st, then put down June the 1st as the end of that timeline. In fact, my guidance would be put a little bit earlier than that just to give you a bit of leeway, maybe mid-May as your timeline for that. And then split that up. So most people will split things up by month. You may decide to do it by payday. If you get paid weekly, you might want to do it by weekly. But each single one, put down what you're going to do. So if it is money that we're talking about, you would put down that I will aim to get X amount by this date, X amount by this date, X amount by this date. And then by the 1st of June, you've got all that you need to book that holiday. Maybe it's weight loss. Again, break it down on that timeline with some specific dates in mind. And then when you are measuring, which is one of the other SMART goals, of course, when you are measuring, then you would be able to see how you are doing against that timeline. If you're not doing as well as you should do, you'll know maybe to do something different. So, for example, if you are saving that money and you're not quite getting there, maybe there's something you can cut out of your lifestyle to help you raise more money. Maybe don't go to the cinema as often if you're going too often. Maybe don't have takeaways as often as you have been, or luxury foods that you have been, so that you can actually increase that amount that you are able to put away each week. Again, with regards to weight loss, just being a little bit more careful if you are on track but not quite on track. That can make the difference. Just a little bit cutting out of your life can make a big difference. But if we don't do it along a timeline, if we haven't got something physical there, maybe up on your fridge or on your wall in your bedroom, which has got a timeline on it, if we're not measuring against that timeline, then all too often, time goes by, you get to the end and you haven't achieved your goal because you haven't been tracking it and you haven't been able to adapt to any inadequacies that you might have had. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it helps a lot if I share my goals with people. You quite often hear me on here sharing goals. And the reason for that is that people can hold me accountable. And that is something which I would encourage you to do. Share your goals with people who will be encouraging, but will also hold you accountable. We do not want to just share our goals with people who are going to, you know, rejoice in the fact that we're failing. We want people who are really, really on our side and want us to be able to achieve. And that brings me to something else. Make sure you have people around you who are supportive. Sometimes you can have members of family even who are not supportive one bit, who are very, very negative about what you're trying to achieve. And they actually try to catch you out and pull you down. I'm not speaking from personal experience. Thankfully, my family are very supportive. But there are those there that can be like that. There's an analogy of crabs in a bucket. If you have ever watched a load of crabs in a bucket, they try and climb up out the side, and maybe, you know, they get one gets to the top and it's just about to pull itself out, and then the one below it pulls it down again. And that can be what friends and family are like sometimes. You're beginning to achieve something and then somebody pulls you down again. You want people around you who are positive. It doesn't mean you cut ties with your family members or whatever, but maybe if there is somebody who is particularly negative, particularly wanting to try and catch you out, then maybe don't spend as much time as you would do with them, and just be wary of that phenomenon. Those are a couple of the tips that I found have really, really helped people that I've worked with and who have helped myself as well. And I do hope that that is going to help you as you make these resolutions as you go through the coming weeks, months, and years, indeed, of this decade. Remember, if you have already started and you feel like you've failed already, it doesn't matter. January the 1st is just an arbitrary date that people start doing these things. You can make a decision to start a resolution at any point in your life. It can be your birthday. It can be Valentine's Day. It can be a partner's birthday. It can be Sunday. It can be Brexit Day. Who knows what it could be? It can be any day. It can be today. And there is that saying that there is no better time than today. Tomorrow will never come. Make a decision, but plan it, get it sorted, get those things specific, get them measurable, get them achievable, get them relevant, and get them time-bound. And you will find that you will make it much, much more progress with your resolutions. Just want to finish off now with another song, and it's going to be a song which is a really uplifting song. Fantastic singer. I read the other day that she is now 80. It is amazing. She's still really, really got it when she gets out there and sings. Her voice is incredible, and that is Tina Turner, of course. And the song is Simply the Best, and I want it to be for you, that you are simply the best person you can ever be, that this year is going to be different, that this decade is going to be different, that you really are going to be simply the best. Enjoy the song. Have a fantastic week ahead. Enjoy this song, Simply the Best.
I call you, I need you, my heart's on fire. You come to me wild and wild. You come to me, give me everything I need. Give me a lifetime of promises and a world of dreams.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Olsen with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.